Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
There's something about speed skaters. You may remember a few weeks ago I spoke to Chad Hedrick, a former Olympic champion speed skater, and it was one of the shortest interviews we've had on The Best in the World with Richard Parr, but it was one of the best. And I've got another speed skater on the program for you this week, and it doesn't disappoint. Absolutely fantastic chat with the two-time Olympic champion Joachim Oudehaar. And yes, I've said that name wrong completely. And I try again when I speak to Joachim and I ask him if I've got that correct at all. And he says, no, you've got the first bit right, but you've got the second bit completely wrong. It's a very difficult name to pronounce, as you've probably seen when you've clicked the download button here. Maybe not if you're Dutch, you probably find it very easy. But for other people who aren't Dutch, it's a little bit tricky. But I've tried my best. Joachim, if you're listening to this, I apologize for that terrible pronunciation. But what I won't apologize for is having the conversation with you, because it's one of the best we've had on the program. We learn a lot from Joachim. He's a two-time Olympic gold medalist. And when he won those gold medals, he also broke the world records. He became the first person in the 10,000 kilometers to speed skate under 13 minutes. And you'll hear in the conversation that he admits that he almost expected to do it based on the performance he did in the 5,000 meters earlier in those games in 2002 at Salt Lake City. And we talk a whole range of other topics as well. We get up to date with what he's up to now, and we talk a lot of things about sleep. We talk about having a balanced life. We talk about routine. We talk about diet. There is so much great knowledge on this program with Joachim Oudehaar. I hope that I said that right. Anyway, we'll get to that conversation in just a moment, but I want to say about Audible. Audible's one of the leading suppliers of audiobooks in the world. They've got over 180,000 titles for you to choose from. And I personally use their service. I've listened to lots of audiobooks, and you could too for free for 30 days. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/best, and then you can get one free audiobook download. And all you've got to do, as I said, is go to audibletrial.com/best to check it out. Let me know what you think. Send me a tweet, richard@_parr, if you check out their service. I'd love to know how you get on with it. I use it and I really enjoy it. All right, let's get to my conversation with Joachim Oudehaar, the Olympic speed skating champion. He's next on The Best in the World.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Joachim Oudehaar, welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr, two-time speed skating champion. And my first question, Joachim, is, did I say your name correctly?
My first name is correctly. It's Joachim Oudehaar. But the my last name, Oudehaar, is very difficult to pronounce, but...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well,
I got a little bit closer than I originally started with, trying to look up a few YouTube videos and Forvo for pronunciations. In fact, yeah. The one previous guest we've had on The Best in the World, I couldn't, from the Netherlands, I couldn't pronounce correctly either, Ellen Hoog.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
It was
field hockey player, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty difficult. All right, well, we're going to talk about your life and your career, Joachim, and of course we're going to talk about you becoming a two-time Olympic champion and Salt Lake City and all of that. But why don't we begin with catching up with what you're up to now, please?
Nowadays, I'm busy to try to people perform better, especially in business, and to make them more sustainable performers. With the knowledge out of my top sport career, I try to explain what I did right in my career, but also what I did wrong. And it has to do with balance, and I try to help them how to fix their sleeping patterns, how to work out their nutrition programs, stress management training, focus, all these kinds of things. Yeah.
Well, that's perfect, because that's exactly what we talk about on The Best in the World with Richard Parr. So you're the perfect person to have on the program. How did this kind of start? Because you retired about 10 years ago. So when did you come up with the idea of, I actually want to give other people this amazing knowledge that I have?
I think it was already during my career, because I realized that I really believe in the fact that if people who are doing some exercising and live their life in the right way, that they're enjoying their life more, and that they feel that they're living a more richer life, that's what they call. And what I also find out is I quit in 2007, and it took me about 2 years to find my own rhythm. And after that 2 years, I was not burned out, but my batteries were totally empty. And there I find out that performing at the highest level is not only a physical part, but also a mental, emotional, and even spiritual part. And that the main goal in life is to balance these four batteries of energy, which I so call them. And if you can fix that out for yourself, then you can be a sustainable high performer. So that's what I try to learn people.
Well, let's try and get a few of those details from you. Let's start with what you think you did right throughout your career, because you said you spoke about what you did right, what you did wrong. Let's go through that first, please.
I think in the beginning of my speed skating career, it was my work. And what I tried to do is to stay close to myself and every time be honest to myself. Have a continuously look in the mirror and to see what I can improve for myself on nutrition base, on materials, in technique, physical part in trainings, to make every part a little bit better. And I think that made especially, I think, the mental part. I worked with a mental trainer to be prepared for the most important race of my life. And I think there I made the biggest, that was my biggest advantage towards the other athletes. And if I look to the period in Salt Lake City in 2002, where I won my gold medals, and also in that same season, a world title and a European title and an Olympic silver medal, is the fact that everything was totally balanced. And that's quite complex to keep it balanced, that's for sure.
What are some of your tips to try and help keep it balanced?
If I come close to myself, I think I will just start with the question every morning, how did you wake up? In effect, are you energized or are you tired? And if you're tired, the question is, why are you tired? Are you tired because of the things that which are in your agenda, you don't like them, or did you have a short sleep, or did you eat not so well the evening before? So that could be the first question, how do I wake up? And then you can even dig deeper if you want to find the right answers.
Do you sleep well?
Yeah, a little bit, sure, but I had some back problems at this moment, so it's not as good as it was, let's say, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's a shame. What happened to your back?
It's a hernia.
Oh, crikey. I can understand why you're not sleeping well there.
Yeah, it hurts a little bit, but as far as I'm moving and exercising, then it's getting better, so that's positive.
So to get a good night's sleep, is this all about routine? Is it about going to bed at the same time? Is it making sure you don't eat certain foods before you sleep? Is it about making sure that you don't do exercise after a certain time?
It's a combination of all these things you mentioned. Of course, the body needs a specific rhythm. And normally it's about 10:30. That's the right moment to go to your bed. It has to do with the effect of our hormones, melatonin in our body, but also with the fact that the average people need about 7.5-8 hours of sleep every 24 hours. So if you calculate what time you go out your bed, what time you went to bed, then you know already a lot of information. And I think that's what you mentioned also for exercising. We know if you do some exercising late in the evening, you can be maybe a little bit longer awake. But in general, if you do some exercises, it will help to make you sleep better. And what you see, especially in business, that people are driving a little bit nuts throughout the day, they don't take any breaks, that these same people, when they're in their bed, they maybe will fall asleep. But if, as soon as they're awake, their brain starts to be getting active, and then they don't fall asleep anymore. So it's a combination of different kind of factors where you can improve your sleep. Also with your curtains, to get less light into your sleeping room. Also some small things which can help out to have better nights.
Did you sleep well when the night before a competition?
Mostly yes, but honestly, if you have, or is, if it's really important to have a real good night in the last night before your competition, you're not prepared very well, because you should be already totally prepared for the competition a couple of days before. So the last night is not as important. But what I had, what I can remember, and I think some people will recognize it, that, yeah, of course, in the night before, I was dreaming about the fact that I was a little bit too late and that I couldn't make my race, and I was running, but I couldn't make any speed anymore. And can you imagine something?
Crikey, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, this moment is a nightmare, of course. And then all of a sudden, finally, the coach came in and the alarm goes off, and okay, this is my day. Now we're going to start. Nothing was wrong. It was perfect. But yeah, that's something in your brain is already active, and you're already preparing for the race. So yeah, that's quite normal.
Other than that, would you ever get stressed at all leading up to a race?
Not really. In the fact that, of course, stress for me sounds in general a little bit negative. Mm. But of course, you need some pressure. You need some arousal to perform. And no, when I was in my good shape, then I really felt a little bit tickling in my stomach, and I really liked to start my race. And then I was in a perfect, these were the perfect circumstances for me. Was it stress? No, not really. No, it's more kind of competition tension. Mm. That's quite positive, yeah.
Was there anything you would do in particular before a race? Did you have any superstitions or rituals or certain routines?
I would say no, but I think my whole preparation is one routine. and it's not superstitions, but in the fact that I think, about the last 90 minutes, it was... I wrote it once down, how I prepared to my race, and I knew that 1.5 hour before the race, I went to the ice rink, then I would have a walk around the rink to see if something's changed. Then I went on the bike, or did some running, then I took off, put on my speed skating suit, then I get on the bike, do a warm-up of 6 minutes, and sometimes with something for your lungs, how it's called, such a machine. Kind of to prepare your lungs with humidity, and then I went off my bike, put my backpack, went to the ice rink, get on the ice, and that was mostly about 12, 30, 40 minutes before the start. Then I skated one lap, and then I put my glasses on, and it was a kind of, if I put my glasses on, I was locked out from the rest of the ice rink. And then I did some laps and I went to the start. And well, yeah, there were different small kind of things or routines which helped me to put the right focus on my performance, and that helped me quite well. Yeah.
So effectively, once the glasses were on, you're in the zone, so to speak.
I tried to be in the zone, yeah. But it was also for me, because to be in the zone or to get in the flow, you never know if it will happen. But it helped me to say to myself, okay, if I put the glasses on, there's no disturbing anymore from outside me. And that helped me.
So you'd never noticed kind of the roars of the crowd or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, but it was that's something which is a part of skating in competition. That's quite normal, and in that way I can use it in a positive way. And what you see when, especially during speed skating championships, at the moment you get on the ice, all the old audience starts to yell, well, then I just make one lap and say hello to everybody, and that's it. And if you did one lap and then you put your glass on, everybody understands that you now start to do your preparation. So yeah, I think it's a really nice way to do it. For me, it worked out well, yeah.
We're going to talk more about actual competition with Salt Lake City in particular in just a moment. We were talking about what you did right throughout your career. What do you think you did wrong throughout your career that you learned from?
That happened in the years after Salt Lake, because I copied my preparation for the Salt Lake Olympics a little bit into the Torino Olympics. But the one thing I forgot is that besides my all things about speed skating, that my personality also changed in the way that I was a skater, but I also had some other roles. I was a partner of my girlfriend, the son of my parents, the brother of Ingo, my brother, and all these different kind of roles. You should pay attention to it, and it takes energy out of it. And I was always focused as my role as a skater, and there I find out that, and this knowledge came later, this came around 2009, that, yeah, let's say on, what did I do, and on Thursday evening when I was lying in my bed, and I was worrying about my speed skates, whether or not going the right way into the corner. Now, what happens mostly if you're worrying and you're lying in your bed, you're not sleeping. And if you're not sleeping, you're not recovering. And the next day you go to the ice, you do your laps. And what do most athletes do if it's not going quite well? They start to train more. And that is where it went wrong. Because training more will not give better performance. Most of the times, if athletes are performing not well, they are a little bit tired and they need more recovery. And that was what I find out later. And that's what I see nowadays with a lot of athletes, that they making a lot of training hours, but they're not getting better. And you should ask yourself what happened then. And you also see it in business with people who are quite busy. They're making more hours, longer hours, skip the dinner, going to bed more late, wake up next morning, put a cup of coffee in their mouth, start to work again, getting tired, making more mistakes, and on and on and on and on. And that's something you should be really aware of, your own balance. Yeah. It's quite difficult.
Yeah. So effectively, it's quality over quantity.
Yeah. For sure. And I had it once that was on let's say, in a Sunday afternoon, that my girlfriend asked, come, Jochen, we're going to do some shopping. It's nice weather. We're going to Hilversum, a place nearby. And I said, sorry, on my schedule is this afternoon should be rest. Yeah, physical rest. But what I forgot is that it's always nice to go with your girlfriend out to do some shopping, sitting on a terrace, drinking a glass of water. And that can also be a really good recovery modus.
Because I guess it's a mental rest, isn't it? It's a mental reset from what you were thinking about.
Exactly. You need a mental reset. You need an emotional reset. And maybe even the so-called spiritual reset. And for some people, spirituality is something which is quite fuzzy or something, but it is the reason why you're doing the things you're doing. So it's not really fuzzy that way.
What about your spiritual side, Jochen?
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular you do spiritually?
No, in the way that I really try to stay close to myself, to ask why do I do what I do. I think that's the most easy question for myself. And for some people, they think that meditation or breathing exercises is a spiritual part, but I already know that it's a physical part because I know what happens. So in that way, that's also what I do during my trainings and my motivational speakings, to explain people that people who are busy with meditation or mindfulness, that's nothing which is physically at all or what should be spiritual. It's something physical on which will help out your body to keep in to stay in balance.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
More from Joachim in just a moment, but I want to tell you about Sportacino. Sportacino is the network that The Best in the World with Richard Parr is now a part of. They've also got a wrestling show. It comes out every single Wednesday. They've got amazing guests. So far, they've had people such as Rockstar Spud, Al Snow, and John Morrison all on the program. Plus, I am your host, and I'm not afraid to give you some of my strong opinions when it comes to WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor, and everything else that is going on in the wacky world of professional wrestling. Check us out. It's every Wednesday. We put out a show at 3 p.m. British Standard Time, and we're at sportacino.com. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, and we're on Periscope. We're absolutely everywhere for our wrestling show on Sportacino. And of course, The Best in the World with Rich Parr is also at sportacino.com. All right, that's enough about them. Let's return to the conversation with Joachim Oudahaag.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Give us an idea of what you would eat while you were competing, Joachim.
Oh, yeah, that's not quite difficult. Because speed skating, it's a really, it's not a sprint, but the longest distance I did was 13 minutes. So what's important for as a normal human being is the same for an athlete, that I need my carbohydrates and I need my proteins and my fats throughout my dinners. And what I did in during my training, and honestly, I think that the knowledge about nutrition in sports changed a little bit the last, let's say, 10, 12, 15 years. But I also, my own meaning is that don't make it too difficult that way. Because we know if you do some training where you need your muscles a lot, you need some extra proteins. But in general, you need your all your vitamins, your nutritions, and the right amount of carbohydrates and proteins. So I don't want to make it a kind of rocket science that way, but it should be natural and clean. That's what I know for sure. And the less sugar it is, the better it is. But sometimes, yeah, a little bit sugar is okay, especially if you start to train during the day.
Mm. Was there one particular vice that you had when it came to sugar?
No, I would say don't use too much artificial sugar. But I think my opinion on nutrition changed already the last 10 years after I quit. I was good in my nutrition, but in a general way, not real sophisticated or not complex, easy, just normal food. And of course, a lot of pastas, a lot of carbohydrates. And I think that should also something, or it would also be something which I would change nowadays if I was still an athlete.
Oh, okay. What would you have then, if not the pasta? What would you replace it with?
I think we more vegetables and more potatoes or something more natural.
Mm. It's interesting. We've had two Olympic swimmers on the program, Rebecca Soni and Stephanie Rice, won multiple gold medals between them. And interestingly, since they've both retired, they've both become vegan. And they actually feel like they've got a lot more energy through eating more vegetables. It's quite interesting how that's happened.
You see, if an athlete quit their career, the most knowledge comes maybe 1, 2, or maybe 3 years after they ended their career. And this knowledge you should use for the other athletes.
Mm. Yeah. Passing on that information.
Yeah.
So let's talk about 2002. Not only two gold medals, but two world records. Was that your target when you went into the games, to break world records, or was it just to win?
Not at all. And honestly, I was not thinking about it even, because the only thing I would like to do there is to skate my best races so far. And for, let's say, the 5,000 meters, that was the first distance in the speed skating championship, I knew that I could skate almost, maybe 10, 11, 29 laps. 29 second laps. So that was my main goal, to skate as much 29 as I could do. I never calculated what should be the final result, because it was not important for me. I stayed very close to myself. And so when it came over the finish, I was a little bit surprised that it was a world record at that moment. And for the 10,000 meters, that was, for me, it was a kind of calculation, because normally in speed skating, what I did, if I had a 5,000 meters, I did my 5,000 meters twice plus 30 seconds. So for me, I skated 6:14, 44, twice is 12, 28, 88, plus 30 seconds is 12, 58, 88. That's below 30 minutes. And there were a lot of people who surprised, oh, he's going to break the 30 minutes barrier. But that was something I knew before I started that it should be possible, just because of my general calculation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's real nice to break a barrier that way. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, after you got that first gold and that first world record, I wondered whether you would almost put more pressure on yourself going into the other races, but it sounds like it actually made you more confident for the 10,000 meters.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, or not, maybe not of course, but for me it helped, because the main goal for me during the Olympics was, when I started, to make the best performance I could do. I was not the biggest candidate to win the medal, and there were other people who just screwed their race. They were world champion, leading world champion on the 5,000 meters. It was Bob de Jong. He was, I think, at the end, 28 or 30 in the ranking. He just exploded, and in his head, for sure. And so I was just doing my race. And after I won my golden medal, I was already so satisfied that I said to myself, okay, I'm a European champion all around. That's what I became in January. I've got a golden medal. So everything which is extra make it even better, but I'm already really satisfied. So the pressure was totally gone. Mm-hmm. And that was also, it brought me also the silver medal on the 1500 meters. And maybe, there was not a little bit pressure on 10,000 meters, but I was really looking forward to it to start, because I knew that I could win another gold medal. But first, you should do your thing, and that's just skating 25 laps.
Are you pleased with the silver medal you got?
Yeah, for sure. Because I'm not a 1500 meter specialist, and I think I was the fourth Dutch skater who was qualified, so I was not the big candidate for a medal over there. But my shape was perfect, that's for sure. And I think I raced my race almost perfectly, in the way that maybe I lost 1/10 or 2/10 in the second lap. But this really good American, Derek Parra, who won the gold medal, he was about 6/10 of a second faster than I was. Mm. So I could never win a gold medal that day. And I'm really satisfied with my silver, yeah, for sure.
And then you beat him in the 10,000 anyway, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. But the funny part was that he won the silver medal on the 5,000 meters. So we were together on the podium. Then I had gold, he had silver. Then he won the 1500 meter, I won silver. So we were together on the podium again. And the 10,000 meters, we started together. And I think he followed me. Maybe he even was leading the first 3, 4, or 5 laps. Then I passed. I've never seen him again on the 10,000 meters. But it was nice. And it's, we had a lot of fun during the Olympics. Yeah, it's not a friend of mine, but I know for sure if I'm going in the USA and I call him, we have a lot of fun. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, fantastic. Was there anyone else you had a similar kind of competitive rivalry, or was there anyone in particular you kind of looked towards saying, this is the person I need to beat, or this is the person I need to match their performance with?
No, not really. No, I was always putting my focus on my own performance. And there were some skaters which I really liked, or it was fun to race against. I liked to race against Petter Andersen, a Norwegian guy. But no, not in general. Speed skating is that way. It's quite easy, because you just have to beat the time. And to beat the time, you have to skate your best race.
You mentioned there about 4 Dutch skaters doing well. In particular, the Netherlands is known for being very successful at speed skating. What in particular do you think it is about the infrastructure that continually produces top quality speed skaters from your country?
I think it's, of course, infrastructure. We have, I think, about 14 400 meter ice rinks. So everybody here in the Netherlands, within 45 minutes, they can skate. Mm. And it's a little bit in our culture that speed skating is part of it. Sometimes when there is ice, natural ice, everybody went out on the canals and on the lakes to skate. And also, I think what will help is that if you get some good athletes who perform really well, who are on the television, who can earn some money, that you're also kind of role model for these children. And I think that will help. And but I think the main reason that there are a lot of people who start to skate. But what you can see also, that there are more different kind of sports coming. The youth, it's growing slower nowadays. I think it's even less than, let's say, 15 years ago. So we also see that it's getting worse here.
Oh, so what needs to improve then?
I think the talent development is getting better, because the talents who are getting more, or there are more talents nowadays with a higher level. But I think if you see the youth who is skating, the total amount of youth skaters is getting smaller. But I think that has just to do with all the different kind of other sports you can do. And what should you change? I would say it's just a kind of working of the market. And maybe you go to do some roller skating, maybe do some free running, do some dancing. Yeah, the world is changing that way.
Okay, and do any of the up-and-coming skaters turn to you for advice, and is there anything in particular you tell them?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes they are listening to my advice. Also older skaters. And I think the main thing to what they can learn is, if you doubt about your performance, just say stop to yourself for a couple of days. And don't start to train harder, but take some rest. Most of the times that will work out. And don't be afraid to do a little bit less sometimes, because especially speed skating, it's a real technical sport. And if you're tired, your technique is worse or less good. And you need all these coordination, you really need it. So take a little bit rest and do something else and get on the ice again after a week, and you'll see what happens. And but most athletes think that you just have to go to train harder and harder and harder, but that's not the right way.
No, you need to train smarter. Joachim, it's been it's been really good to talk to you on today's program. Just before you go, why don't you let us know how we can find you on social media or online, so we can continue to follow your journey and all of the great knowledge that you have, please.
Now, this is quite difficult maybe to pronounce. Yeah?
So I'll write it down and everyone will know how to find it properly afterwards. Yeah. So don't worry. No,
I've got a Twitter account on Uit de Hagen. And I've got a Facebook account on the same name. I think if you put my name Uit de Hagen on Google, you'll find everything directly.
Uit de Hagen.
Yeah. And also I've got my own company. It's called De Uitdaging. And that means it's a translation. In English, it would be the challenge.
Okay.
But if you write down my name and you make it a little bit different, it's the same pronunciation as experience in Dutch, or challenge in Dutch, sorry. So it's maybe a joke, but it makes it even more complex to write my name.
Oh, well, it's been really good to talk to you. Thank you so much for giving us all of this great knowledge. Thank you for being on the program, and thank you for being the best in the world.
Okay. See you. Thank you.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Wonderful chat with Joachim. As I mentioned at the start of the show, one of my favorite podcasts is with another speed skater. It's with Chad Hedrick. Maybe go back and listen to that. You can listen to it at acast.com/best. Or if you're listening to this on iTunes, you can just scroll back a few weeks and you will find that podcast. And I've been lucky enough to have some amazing conversations with other Olympic and world champions. Maybe you want to listen to the swimming champion, Stephanie Rice. I enjoyed that conversation with her. Maybe you want to listen to the water polo player, KK Clark. That's a really fun conversation. We've also had chats with Gary Hunt, the cliff diving world champion. There's so much great content, and I don't want you to miss a second of it. So click that subscribe button on iTunes, give us a rating and review, and that'll mean you will never miss a second of knowledge from these amazing athletes. And I've got another world champion, Olympic champion, world record holder, world number one next week on The Best in the World with Richard Parr. You do not want to miss it, but until then, I hope you have a wonderful week. Goodbye.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.